الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله نويت سنة الاعتكاف. Dear brothers in attendance and viewers of Madani channel, there are numerous fadail, numerous excellences in regard to reciting peace and blessings, salat and salam upon the best of creation, our beloved master Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In one narration, the famous companion Sayyiduna Ubay bin Ka'b radiyallahu ta'ala an asks the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam that what do you think about this amal of mine? What is your opinion if I were to spend my entire free time? Free time meaning after I fulfill the obligations, whether that's salah or looking after my family, fulfilling their huquq, their rights. If I were to spend all of my free time sending salat upon you, invoking salawat upon you, what do you say in regards to this, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the companion, if you are to do this, if you are successful in spending all your free time sending salat upon me, then this will be sufficient for you in having your sins forgiven and your concerns relieved. Your worries will be relieved as well. Ponder for a moment. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say to this companion that no, you shouldn't spend all your time remembering me. Do something else. In fact, the Prophet alaihi wasallam encouraged it and said, if you were to spend all your free time remembering me by sending peace and salutations upon me, then this will be sufficient in removing your sins and dealing with your worries as well. So subhanallah, as Muslims, this is a beautiful remedy for us. Number one, we're very sinful, no doubt. Because from a Shari'i perspective, unfortunately in this day and age, many people don't even learn the deen. And when you don't learn the deen, how can you practice the deen? So knowingly, unknowingly, we commit many mistakes, many sins. And then secondly, if you ask every other Muslim, then he has problems in his life. Those problems may be related to his family, familial issues, may be related to livelihood, may be related to disobedient children, may be related to health. Many people suffer from health illnesses, health issues. Now, this hadith is a cure, and this hadith is a remedy. Number one, your sins will be forgiven. And number two, your worries will be relieved, will be alleviated. Your worries will also vanish as well. How so? Remember the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Send abundant salawat upon him. Inshallah, you will attain the barakat mentioned in this blessed hadith. May Allah ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to do so, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Dear brothers in Islam, this journey to al-Madinatul Munawwara holds a great significance in the life of a Muslim. It is not like any other journey. And one thing that you must be sure of right from the beginning is that you are not going to visit a person who is deceased. Meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam did taste death as per the Quranic command, kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. But then he was granted a life in barzakh, which is greater than the life of this world. And we will mention the proofs for this as well, what the ahadith say in this regard. But when you visit Al-Madinatul Munawwara, you are visiting our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who is alive in his grave. He observes us. And in fact, if we were to say that we are the dead ones, that bazahir, we are alive, but our hearts are corrupted, our hearts are polluted, our hearts are dead. And we go to Al-Madinatul Munawwara to revive our dead hearts, to gain spirituality from the blessed court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And just to give you a glimpse of how our pious predecessors, rahimahumullahu ta'ala, how they viewed this journey to Madinatul Munawwara, Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Alawi al-Haddad, rahimahullahu ta'ala, a grand scholar, he was known as Shaykhul Islam in his time. He was based in Yemen. And he had immense love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, so much so that he has written in one of his books that if a believer were to travel to Al-Madinatul Munawwara, not on foot like we do, but rather if he were to travel on his head, and he's just giving an example, he says, if you were to travel on your head from the furthest city away from Al-Madinatul Munawwara all the way to the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, all on your head, then even then you will not fulfill the right of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What right in particular? The right of Iman that you were gifted. Because no believer thinks for even a moment that he attained Iman without the wasila, the intermediary of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nobody directly believed in Allah Azza wa Jal. In fact, it was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam who conveyed the message of Islam and Iman. The Sahaba, the fortunate people in the time, accepted it. Then the Salafus Salihin, the first few generations, the Tabi'een, Atba'ut Tabi'een, and this has continued throughout the ages until today, Alhamdulillah. Thumma Alhamdulillah, we are believers, we are Muslims. Now this right of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us, when he taught us Islam, he taught us Iman, he taught us there was a creator, Allah Azza wa Jal. Even if we travel, Imam Abdullah bin Alawi al-Haddad rahimahullah says, even if we travel from the furthest city away from Madinatul Munawwara, all the way to the city of the beloved, on our heads, we will not fulfill this right of the Prophet alayhi salam, in that through him we gained Iman. This is how much gratitude we must pay to the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. So now that you've understood how our scholars viewed this journey, the importance of this journey, the great favor of the Prophet alayhi salam upon us, let us hear, inshallah, a few accounts from the past scholars that how passionate they were about visiting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now to begin, the great Imam of the Ahlul Sunnah, the reviver of Islam, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatu rahman, he was a great devotee of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, a great lover of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he went for Hajj the second time, it so happened that he fell seriously ill while in Makkah al-Mukarramah. The Hajj rites have been performed, but he is yearning to visit the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The scholars at that time who were there, grand scholars, erudite scholars, eminent scholars of Islam, they said to him, that it is our mashwara, it is our advice that you do not undertake this journey to Madinatul Munawwara. Why? Because your health is deteriorating and the journey is long. Meaning it wasn't like today where you would just, you could even take a flight from Jeddah to Medina airport, or you can go on conveyance to a car. They would travel on animals, camels and the like. So the scholars of Islam advised the great Imam of Ahlus Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahman. They said, our advice is based on your condition that you do not undertake this journey. It's a lengthy journey. The great Imam of Ahlus Sunnah said, your advice is appreciated, but I will most definitely undertake this journey. In fact, truth be told, that this is my second Hajj, and even the first time around, my niyyah, my intention when undertaking this journey was to visit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's what I had in the forefront of my mind, that I'll do Hajj, but the main maqsad of my journey is visiting the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And then Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahman mentioned a hadith: whoever performs Hajj and does not visit me, then he is not true in his claim of loving me. He considers himself to be a true devotee of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he doesn't visit the Prophet alaihi wasallam after Hajj. The scholars of Islam then said, oh Imam, you've been before, you went the first time when you came for Hajj. That's when Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahma said, this hadith, my interpretation, my understanding of this hadith is that every time you come for Hajj, you must visit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. So I'm not content with the fact that I visited the Prophet alaihi wasallam the first time. I must visit this time as well. And I will visit this time. And this is when he said, even if I reach Al-Madinatul Munawwara, I glimpse or glance at the Blessed Rawdah, the resting place of the Prophet alaihi wasallam, for even a moment, and then my soul departs my body, I will have accomplished my mission. I will consider this a great feat of mine that I have visited the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even if this means that I see the Rawdah for one moment and I pass away, my soul leaves my body. Dear brothers in Islam, viewers of Madini channel, this is the love that the ulama, the awliya, the sulaha possessed for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is how eager they were to visit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nowadays, people have their list. I must visit fulan country and fulan country, and I've heard good reviews about this place and that place. But how many of us have Makkah al-Mukarramah, Madinatul Munawwara at the top of our list? That Ya Allah, grant me sufficient wealth so that I'm able to visit these noble places every year, time and time again in my life. How many of us truly yearn to do this? That is the question. And we know about the ulama, the sulaha, the awliya, that they would do this. And they didn't go on a flight. It didn't take 8 hours, 10 hours to reach there. It took them months sometimes to reach there. But they would go. This was their love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So Ala Hazrat said, I must go to Madinatul Munawwara. And why do you think they developed this love? So much love for the Prophet alaihi wasallam. It's because they've studied Islam, they've studied Quran, they've studied Hadith. They know about the significance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the life of a believer. You read the Kalima Shahada, you read the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Salah, where you're worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're sending salam to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. These are points that if a believer with a sound mind and a clear heart, a purified heart, were to ponder, he would realize the close connection that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam has with the deen and the creator of Allah azza wa jal. And we also realize how close our relationship should be with the Prophet alaihi wasallam. We can never minus the Prophet ﷺ from any of our discussions, any dini activity. You will find the remembrance of the Prophet ﷺ there. So let's hear a few ahadith in this regard so that we can also gain this understanding and a yearning to visit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first hadith, which is in Sahih Muslim, Kitab al-Hajj, hadith number 1382. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-Madinatu tanfi an-nasa kama yanfi al-kiru khabath al-hadid." That the city of Madinatul Munawwara purifies people just as a furnace purifies iron from rust. When an iron becomes rusty, how is it purified? By a furnace. The Prophet ﷺ is giving this example, this similitude, and he's saying just as an iron is purified from its rust through a furnace, whoever comes to Al-Madinatul Munawwara, his heart also becomes purified as well. That corrupt heart, that polluted heart, when you come to Al-Madinatul Munawwara, the city of the Prophet ﷺ, it'll become purified. And you just have to understand how the Prophet ﷺ purifies people, places, locations, by looking at the name Al-Madinatul Munawwara. Before Medina, that land was called Yathrib. And today the scholars say it's impermissible to call Medina Yathrib. So some people, unknowingly, out of ignorance, when they write poetry about the city of Medina, they try to praise it by using the name Yathrib. The scholars say this is not allowed. Why? Because Yathrib means an area of plague or illness, or disease. And that's what it was before the Prophet ﷺ arrived there. That people did not want to go to that land. They fled from that land. But when the Prophet ﷺ arrived in that city, he changed the name. The name was no longer Yathrib. Now it was Medina, meaning the purified place. As soon as the Prophet ﷺ placed his beautiful and noble feet in the city of Madinatul Munawwara, it became purified. So when we go to there as believers, we go with this intention to purify our hearts, to purify ourselves from all the filth that we've accumulated. And the hadith is saying this, Sahih Muslim, that Medina purifies the people just as iron is purified through a furnace. Another hadith, and this is in Al-Mu'jam al-Kabir, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, "Man zara qabri wajabat lahu shafa'ati." That whoever visits my resting place, which is in Madinatul Munawwara, what glad tidings is mentioned regarding him? Wajabat lahu shafa'ati. My intercession becomes incumbent upon such a person, becomes necessary and wajib upon such a person. What does shafa'a mean? On the day of judgment, through our own a'mal, are we going to gain entry into paradise? Very unlikely. We're very sinful. But when the Prophet ﷺ intermediates and he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us, Allah ta'ala will listen to the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, accept the plea of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and forgive us. And this is what shafa'a is known as. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever visits Medina, whoever visits my resting place, then I will intercede for him. My intercession becomes wajib upon such a person. This is another reason why we should be eager to visit that place. You can't say that about any other place. That if you go to Fula area and Fula area, the Prophet ﷺ will intercede for you. No. This is an exclusive right of the city of Madinatul Munawwara. And then you have another hadith, which is in Sunan Dar Qutni. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, "Man hajja fazara qabri ba'da wafati faka'annama zarani fi hayati." That the one who performed Hajj and then he came to visit my grave, my resting place, after my passing, my physical veiling from the world, it's as if he visited me whilst I was alive. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. And unfortunately, you have some people who haven't studied the deen, who don't understand the key role that the Prophet alayhi sallam plays in a believer's life, and they say, "I performed Umrah, I performed Hajj, but I didn't go to Medina." Is this something to say? Is this something to, ma'azallah, boast about? That here the hadith is encouraging visiting the land of Madinatul Munawwara and specifically the resting place of the Prophet ﷺ to gain shafa'a, to gain blessings from the Prophet ﷺ. And how can a believer not visit? So these are just some ahadith in this regard. And then in the book, Ar-Rawdul Fa'iq of Sheikh Shu'aib Harifish, rahimahullahu ta'ala, who is an Egyptian scholar from many centuries ago. In his book, he writes 10 fada'il, excellences of visiting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is number one. The one who visits the Prophet alayhi salam will attain a very high rank in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lofty rank, a high maqam. He will achieve his aims and objectives. Number three, his needs, his hajat will be fulfilled. Number four, he will remain safe and sound from destruction and devastation. Number five, he will be immune from defects and flaws. Number six, his troubles will be eased. Number seven, he will be protected from calamities. Number nine, he will have a good return in the hereafter. Number 10, he will have blessings of the Creator of the East and the West. This is what Sheikh Shu'aib Harifish Rahmatullahi Ali has mentioned in Ar-Rawdul Faiq. Now, who doesn't want these things that have been mentioned? Everybody wants them. This is why we shouldn't delay. If Allah Ta'ala has blessed us, we have the means, we should visit the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We have young children, we should take them as well. The sooner you inculcate and you develop Mahabbatul Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hearts of your children, the better it will be for you. This love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is what the Sahaba lived for. The narrations mention how Sahaba, and one particular Sahabi, when he heard about the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the court of Allah, Ya Allah, take away my eyes. Imagine that. The Sahabi making a dua in the court, are eyes not a blessing? They're a blessing of Allah Azza wa Jalla. But the Sahaba realized that the greatest blessing for a believer, the greatest wasila in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said, our eyes would gain coolness through seeing the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Now that he has passed away, he has veiled himself from us. What use are these eyes? The Sahabi prayed in the court of Allah, Ya Allah, remove my eyesight. So, understand the maqam and the importance of the Prophet ﷺ in the life of a believer. Let's listen to a few more accounts in this regard as well. It is mentioned in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, very authentic hadith book, that the ruler of the time, Marwan, he was going past the Rawda Mubarakah of the Prophet ﷺ, and he saw somebody who was resting his place on the blessed grave of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And when he saw this, he said to him, what are you doing? That person turned around, lo and behold, it was none other than the great Sahabi, Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala. This hadith is in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. And the Sahabi gave an answer to which Marwan could not reply. And he also taught the aqidah of the Sahaba as well. This is the aqidah of all people today, all Muslims today. That Marwan asked him, what are you doing? Resting your head on the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu an, as we know, who was honored with hosting the Prophet alayhi salam when he came to Al-Madinatul Munawwara. He said, O Marwan, I have not come to a stone, but I have come to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That you think what I'm doing is unbeneficial, or my being present here is not worth anything? Let me tell you, this is the aqidah of the Sahaba, that I have come to the grand court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he mentions a jumla. Marwan was speechless. He said that I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, do not weep for the deen if qualified people are in control. If qualified people are in charge, then don't weep for the deen. But when the opposite happens, when unqualified people are in positions of authority and take control, then you must weep for the deen. And Marwan was saying that this is what I'm doing. So the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, their aqidah, their a'mal, their practices are lessons for us. And if you want to say that we are true in our devotion to the Prophet alayhi salam, we have to adopt a similar mindset to the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. Dear brothers in Islam, when we go to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have to realize, we have to bear in mind that this is no ordinary individual. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this is a hadith in Sahih Bukhari, the most authentic book of hadith. The Prophet alaihi wasallam said, "Innama ana qasim wallahu yu'ti." That I am the distributor and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the bestower. I divide the blessings of Allah amongst the people. I distribute the blessings of Allah, and Allah Azza wa Jal, Wallahu Yu'ti. Allah is the one who provides and who bestows. Now when our ulama, our scholars of Islam, our salihin, when they went to Madinatul Munawwara, they had this hadith in their mind. They knew about the tasarruf of the Prophet alayhi salam, how much power and authority he has been granted by Allah Azza wa Jal. Let me give you an account of the great Hakimul Ummah, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh. He says, when I went to Madinatul Munawwara, I had an accident where I tripped, I slipped, and I broke my wrist. I was in severe pain. But then I kissed the area of the pain and I said, "O pain of Medina, I want you to reside in my heart. That I have gained this pain from the city of the beloved, I want it to reside in my heart." This was his way of showing love to the Prophet ﷺ and the city of the Prophet ﷺ. He says, I went to have an x-ray. When the results came, the doctor said to me that your wrist is broken so badly. There is a big gap between the two bones. And Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh, he was a prolific author, a writer. He wrote Tafsir Naimi, Mir'atul Manajih. These are voluminous works, many volumes. So you can imagine how heartbroken he must have been, that the hand he would use to write books is now so badly affected that the doctor is saying, very unlikely that you'll be able to continue writing now. What did he do? Did he lose hope? Did he feel sorry for himself? No, he says, I went to the court of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I presented before our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam examples from the seerah. I said, O beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just as you cured your sahabi who had a broken shin, just as you cured that sahabi who had injured his eye. We know about Sayyiduna Qatada radiallahu ta'ala an, who during a battle his eye came out of his socket. That sahabi went to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why did he go to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because he knew the Prophet possessed the power to cure him by the permission and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know from narrations, these narrations can easily be searched up in the hadith collections, that the Prophet alayhi salam placed his blessed saliva on the eye of Sayyiduna Qatada and placed it back into its socket. And it's mentioned that thereafter that affected eye became stronger than the other eye. This was the blessing of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi alayhi, who has suffered this great calamity where his wrist is broken, and he has come to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is giving the wasila of those companions who were cured by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is saying that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the sake of those companions that you cured, meaning you cured the broken shin of Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Atiq radiyallahu ta'ala. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you joined the broken arm of Mu'adh bin Afra radiyallahu ta'ala. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please also join my broken hand as well, my broken wrist as well. And this plea in the court of Allah, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was heard. And alhamdulillah, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi alayhi's wrist was cured by the mercy of Allah, and he began to write again as well. The doctor said, how is this possible? That I did your x-ray and your wrist was so severely broken that this is a miracle, I can't understand this. And that's when Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullahi Ali said, the only treatment that I acquired, the only treatment that I undertook was visiting the Prophet Ali Salam and pleading in his noble court. Just like the Sahaba who visit the court of the Prophet Ali Salam and plea and beg the Prophet Ali Salam to help them and cure them. That's all I did, and this is what you see before you now. This is the miracle and the authority of the Prophet Ali Salam bestowed on him by Allah Azza wa Jal. He is the beloved of Allah. So, dear brothers in attendance, viewers of Madini Channel, we were hearing about the blessed Prophet Ali Salam and his noble city of Al-Madinatul Munawwara. We should forever be yearning, we should forever be eager to visit the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam city. And when we're distant from it, when we're far away from it, our hearts should feel restless. And we should feel that hayat, the true life is attained at the feet of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Quran tells us, Surah An-Nisa, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهَ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ لَوَجَدُوا اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. Time does not permit to go into this verse in detail, but in a nutshell, briefly, the Quranic command is that when believers have transgressed against themselves, they've committed sin upon sin, they've oppressed themselves through sins, جَاءُوكَ, Allah Ta'ala says they should come to you, O beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They should seek forgiveness from Allah. Where? In Al-Madinatul Munawwara, near the Prophet alayhi salam. وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولِ. Then the Messenger of Allah will seek forgiveness for them, and they will surely find Allah as Tawwab, the one who accepts repentance, and Rahim, most merciful. We could have been given the command to go elsewhere, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's grand court was mentioned in the Quran, Ja'uka. So we should visit Madinatul Munawwara as often as we can. This should be on the top of our list. And we should go there, give salam to the Prophet alayhi salam to attain his shafa'at as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us true love for the Prophet alayhi salam, true love for his noble city, and everything that is ascribed to the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Ameen, bijahi nabi al-ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Calling upon you.